A weak solidarity bringing team Lister when we all know election promises bear little relationship to what governments do once elected. So top marks to the caring business class candidate for Bennelong, Scott Young, Y-U-N-G, real name, for getting an election promise spot on without even winning the seat. As voters, particularly Chinese voters, of whom there were many, told him they didn't exactly like Constable Peter Duffer, Young promised them Pete will not be there forever. Spot on, Scott, spot on. Perhaps the fastest delivery of an election promise in parliamentary democratic history. 3 days, in fact. Promise fulfilled. Scott and Pete both shoveled to the end of the unemployment queue. Bringing us to the only enjoyment we can squeeze out of election night, watching the losers lose. And a bonus when Pete went down with the ship. Isn't Schadenfreude delightful? On the other hand, Pete performed too badly, ensuring a huge socialist majority, ensuring big supremo Anthony Albanese and the team can continue to support the lazy avaricious workers they so care about by making sure their caring employers' profits are not eroded by evil unions like the out-of-control CFMEU. Because the socialists know we can believe everything we read in the mainstream media, particularly about evil unions, can continue to address climate change, if there is such a thing, by approving more and more coal and gas projects, striking the sensible centre balance between the fossil behemoths and the environment, solve the housing crisis by providing more and more incentives, read corporate welfare, for the great real estate developer private sector to solve the crisis, because the great real estate developer private sector knows all about the crisis given it's responsible for it. See, lateral non-thinking. And they can continue to support their very, very, very close friend Zion's right to defend itself through slaughter, destruction and genocide. Nonetheless, caring employers are getting in quickly to ensure the socialists know their place as the marionette overseer of the means of production of the greatest little economic order of them all. Great practitioners like the resource behemoths and the great banks whose sole concern is the common good, acolytes like certain academic economists, the Trubler Aussie Capitalist Review, have fallen over themselves to advise Anthony and the team what's required to ensure they do their bidding. Sorry, do what's best for all of us, with tax reform and caring business class relations reform appearing to be top of the list. Fascinatingly, knowledgeable practitioners incessantly call for lower company and personal income tax when they don't pay any in the first place, but be that as it may, it's obvious, because they all say so. Income tax on the filthy rich and corporate taxes on the filthy rich are crippling this country. And the only fair tax system is an extended all-in increased GST under which the filthy rich and the poorest of the poor pay at exactly the same rate. With the added bonus, the poorest of can enjoy that exhilarating feeling of importance, knowing that in paying for everything they can or perhaps can't afford to buy, they are equal with Gina and the rest of the filthiest rich of. Lucky, lucky poorest of. And it's just as obvious caring business class relations laws introduced by the socialists like same work, same pay, going home at nights and at weekends and similar crippling work practices have gone too far, far too far, have put the power of capital in the hands of the ignorant, and righting those wrongs and increasing worker productivity are essential for the caring employers to make life better for the workers so exploiting them. And yet, would we believe? Yes, we would, wouldn't we? They're so selfish and myopic. The bloody evil unions have already called on the socialists to ensure wage increases just because they poured millions into the socialist electoral coffers. Their caring employers want nothing more than to see wage increases. They keep telling us that. But with those crippling caring business class relations laws and workers not pulling their fingers out and increasing their productivity, a wage increase is out of the question, would slash the caring employers' profits, and without those profits, where would we all be? So it isn't that caring employers don't want their their lazy Aboriginal workers to enjoy a wage rise, but that they can't possibly have a wage rise while the socialist caring business class relations system is so loaded in favour of those workers and their evil unions. So it's their own fault. Actually, Pete's sad loss is not just a blow to parliamentary democracy, as he will now become nothing more than the answer to the odd trivia question, but our regular listener will know it is a tragic disaster for this segment, because for satire, Constable Duffer was a walk-upstart. And while the many postmortems proffered for the failure of Pete's inspired campaign include a connection to the ever-popular US of the UN of the US of the world big supremo Donald Trump or the poor, aided and abetted by his terra nullius non-land, non-people / public spending guru Jacinta's determination to make Trublowazi great again, wrong. Quite simply, wrong. Twas the opposite. Pete and Jacinta et al. Didn't go trample the poor in enough. They were too timid, intimidated. And how do we know? Gina told us so. Yes, our filthiest rich, or the filthy rich, bemoaned the coalition was too scared to expose the long-haired, commie, greenie, anti-business, anti-investment, anti-Gina's interest socialist policies. And who did she blame apart from the socialists themselves? The caring business class party was chased away from supporting Trample the Poor Star politics by a left-wing media campaign. See? It was all Lord Rupert of Wapping's fault. His Wapping sin and Trublowazi trading with the big red Trublowazi up the top and Skyline News. Gina is so wise, she obviously sees things we miss entirely. But big-hearted woman that she is, she was still generous enough to offer Anthony and the team her advice on what this country needs. Don't implement policies that hamper business investment. Dump the Paris Climate Change Accord. Dump renewable energy. Jettison a positive nature plan. Cut red and green tape and slash government spending. Get rid of caring business class relations policies that impede productivity and encourage strike disruption and uncertainty. Positive policies all. Except, which bit of all that progressive policy was not on Pete and Jacinta and that lot's list anyway? But no, that out-of-control left-wing media led by Lord Rupert was still at it yesterday. Whopping sin P1, good riddance, ousted by your own hate, gloating at the Greens' demise in Melbourne. Adam Bandt has paid the price for the Greens' stoking division and hatred across the country, according to leaders on both sides of politics. And then in a huge spread, the only leaders seem to be Zionist leaders and that dedicated socialist Josh Burns the workers. To oppose slaughter, destruction and genocide is to stoke division and hatred. Instead, let's learn unity and love from the unity and love Zion brings to the non-land, non-people whose land it stole and whose non-land and non-people it occupies and slaughters and destroys. At the presidential office on the front nine of a Trample the Poor Florida golf course, an advisor brought the good news about the good news to Donald. Mr. Supremo, exciting news. A U.S. person has been elected Pope. That's not news to me. They knew how to make the Vatican great again. I will be the greatest Pope ever, ever. The advisor looked very nervous. You tell him, he said to a second advisor who was caddying in the presidential office. Oh, no, don't do that to me. No, you tell him. So until they sort that out, Donald still thinks he's the Pope. If he ever discovers he's not, no doubt he'll whack a tariff on the Vatican, huge tariffs on important items like holy water and red cardinal drag. Apropos of nothing, bloke on a quiz show the other night said he was into extreme sports like skydiving. Asked how he felt before a dive. I feel pretty confident, he said, until they open the door on the plane. Well, yes. On a genuinely positive note this week, the Vietnamese people celebrated 50 years since they humiliated the might of the US of, the aggressor, with its lackey Trublowazi hanging onto its coattails, fleeing like rats. even though much of the country is still suffering from the human and environmental disaster. That news balanced by the fact that for the 10th consecutive year, train killing, spending, merchants of death, merchandise rose yet again. 4.2 trillion worldwide last year. Imagine that, what that could do for non-killing policies. Oh, and the big tech companies collected $15 billion revenue in True Blue Aussie last year and paid a massive $254 million in company tax. Don't get the calculator out, listener, I've done it. That's all of 1.69% on revenue. And Donald, at the behest of the big tech giants, is considering punishing True Blue Aussie for this crippling anti-US of imposition. Finally, imagine David McBride rotting in a jail cell for being responsible for the True Blue Aussie war crimes being exposed is feeling even worse at the news former Attorney General Mark Dre, don't confess, has been demoted to the backbench. Still, Mark, that plush seat is heaps more comfortable than a prison cell. Good morning.